Hey Gary, how's it going, man?
Going great.
So first of all, thank you for sponsoring the road trip. Helping make it possible. I'm really looking forward to going out there to Miller Resource Group, doing content with you guys, helping you guys get that video content that's going to help grow your business and help connect you guys and your recruiters with those jobs and with those candidates. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing. That's why I'm traveling all across the country, going to places like you, helping you guys get video. Like, that's why I'm doing it, because you see the value and I know there's value. So that's why the road trip is even possible in the first place. So thank you, man.
Sure. No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I feel like I'm being pulled like on a tractor beam, toward this land of video content, so this is my first foray into it. So you never forget your first time, right?
Yeah. So Industry 4.0. Why don't you talk? Well, first, let's talk a little bit about Miller Resource Group and kind of the sector of the market that you guys serve, and then we'll talk about Industry 4.0.
Okay. So we're kind of a we had a freaky start. I started recruiting in 1977, and I got a phone call one day from we placed salespeople, and the guy said, "Can you help us find a sales engineer to sell a new device that's going to replace relays on the factory floor? It's called a programmable controller." I had never heard that before, didn't know what it was, and he explained it to me. He said, "You know how pinball machines, they have those wheels that turn around, and now they've got these digital lights? Well, it kind of helps factories do that."
That's
That
Industry
was my
3.0.
understanding at the time.
That's Industry 3.0, by the way.
It's come a little ways. But anyway, so we helped that company hire 30 or 40 sales engineers over the next few years. And you can imagine how many people we talked to hire that many. And then those people, we've stayed connected with them over the years. Many of them have stayed in industry. Many of them have grown up to be executives in companies. And they've, software company, we've helped bring the first companies that brought MES to the plant floor and things like that, and software as a service. So we've kind of grown up with the entire industry.
Interesting. Interesting. You know, it's almost like in a lot of ways, it's almost like that was like the birth of the recruiting organization, was all those connections and people, right? So it's almost like a recruiting agency is just like a network, right?
Very much so. I mean, there's people, I mean, we could trace, we've been in business going on 50 years next year. So I've been in 40 some years, and we've placed thousands and thousands of people and built companies and whatnot. But I could trace almost, if we drew a network, I could trace it all back to that first phone call.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yep.
I can see that. That was, like you said, a while back, right when digital computers, PLCs were first coming out, Industry 3.0. Now Industry 4.0 is coming. I know you've said that LinkedIn has been a huge help as far as finding people, but how do you see, video and LinkedIn enabling you to find, connecting people to jobs as almost like a content creator connecting, like products to market, right? Like iPhone, like if someone is reviewing an iPhone, or so, like let's say someone's reviewing a PLC, or I'm, featuring a company, bringing that company to market, you're connecting people to jobs. How do you see video amplifying that?
Well, there's probably a few ways it could take effect. I think that the our, one of our main themes and what we hear mostly is that companies just aren't really good at branding themselves in terms of career and employment opportunities. If they make a great widget or a great robot or a great gripper, I mean, they're really good at that's what they do. But you might go to their website, and maybe down in the lower right section, there might be a tiny little button that says careers. And then, so from the candidate perspective, candidates go and they apply for a job, or they get contacted about a job. They wonder about the company, and they go invest time. They get the, they interview and so on. And then they find out after three or four interviews, there's a disconnect. It wasn't what they expected it to be. I think the biggest opportunity is for companies to be to really show their employment brand through video, so that when somebody can go to their company's website, they can see interviews with employees, see the company in action, hear about values, career path, the vision of the company live from people. And then they're going to say, you know what, that's where I want to work. And that shortcuts a lot of,
you can't get that through, you can't get that through text.
Yeah. And websites won't,
photos and descriptions, but video really takes it to the next level. And that was one of the things that when I first started this venture, one of the biggest opportunities that I saw was using video, like you said, to help brand these places of employment that I think are really cool. You know, like these system integrators, some I've worked for, or, you know, some that are sponsors for the road trip, getting to actually show the inside of the office, interviewing the founder, interviewing one of the engineers, talking about industry 4.0, not really like saying, hey, you know, come work here, but it will have that byproduct of just getting them out there to create interest and to expose what it's like to work there.
Sure. So a question for you, and I'm sure you and your peers talk about this a lot. So the I'm sure you know the amount of content that's being created every day, and it's more and more and more. So suppose, you know, in the old days, you had the yellow pages, and you'd look up a company, and there'd be a name, a phone number, and if they spent a little more money, they'd get like a 2-inch ad. But now, just think, every company is going to have video content everywhere.
And not just video, a stream of video content.
Sure. And it's going to be on social media. And you think, I read this thing, maybe you heard it, that people, they scroll like 200 to 300 yards a day. They're just scrolling on their phone or their
200-300 yards a day. Well, I've not heard that stat, but I believe it.
But like, it's like, what are they scrolling for?
Something to grab their attention. So content, it just feeds the interest. Right, I mean, we're just humans, and we're desire to conquer, we're desire to explore, we're desire to learn. That feeds our desire, and some of it's good. Most of it's probably bad, right? I mean, I think what is it, like 30% of the internet is pornography, right? I mean, that's content, right? Maybe not the best content if you're trying to feed your mind and grow your business, and but it's content nonetheless. Well, I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, that's my question, though. So most people, they go on there and you see people, they're just flipping. They're looking for something to grab their interest. Yeah. Is there any scientific evidence or proof yet? What does get somebody's interest, or is it as unique as the individual?
So there's two things that you just said there. So one, there's the persona, the avatar of the person that you're trying to talk to. I mean, an obvious like kind of example would be that, like, hey, are you looking for an audit job in automation, right? Okay, you're speaking to someone who's looking for a job. The second thing, right, so that's getting that person's interest, speaking to a target persona. Or, hey, are you looking to grow your influence on LinkedIn? Are you trying to build your business using video? Well, then I'm going to help you right now. So that's one, speaking to that persona. Then two is just visually interesting video, right? Drone shots, B-roll, quick edits, like I call that eye candy. That obviously does help too. It's interesting because you might, like, let's say, I think that will really help a video go viral, because then it's like kind of appealing no matter what the audience is. They're just interested, like, oh wow, look at that, right? It's just eye catching. Mm-hmm. That's a really good way to go viral, because you're not necessarily using those people that watch that video to get their interest, but mm-hmm. you're using their engagement to reach their networks, right? Mm-hmm. To help propel your message further. Mm-hmm. But really, I think the audience message comes first, and then the presentation, you know, obviously content and message comes first, then who you're talking to is important. Or maybe that's first, I don't know. But then last, if making it eye-catching and appealing. So if you've got the right person's attention, now you want to keep it by making it presentable, you know?
Sure, sure. And I just think there's so much opportunity there. We were talking to a client today, a big company. And this guy was a general manager for a division of the company. He says, hey, I only got about a half hour. I have to go, I'm cooking for our staff. So we had a record quarter, and I'm grilling sausages for the staff. I said, "You're going to take a picture of it, put it on social media?" He said, "No. I mean, could you do that? Could you help us do that?" We're talking a Fortune 500 company, and the general manager, it never occurred to him to expose the outside world to their culture with a picture, even, much less a video. So, my, you know, my mission is to help our clients get better at hiring, get better at telling the world their story.
Yeah, story. You hit the nail on the head right there.
Yeah. So how do you? But I can't be the spokesperson for all of them.
Right. Well, they've got to tell their own story.
I should probably just hook them all up with you.
Well, so here's why I could see me helping you out a lot is helping get you guys set up where you can help put the spotlight on them, right? So whether it's just with a simple Zoom interview like this, I mean, just having some video content, like I think we were talking about this last week or earlier when we were testing, it's like, just as much as the candidate wants to see a video of what it's like to work for the company, the hiring managers will want to see a video of what that person's like before they maybe even waste their time to get on a phone call, right? They could accomplish the same thing by calling 10 people, right, in one day and talking to 10 people, right? They don't get that same visual cues as they would like with an in-person interview. But watching a video of someone doing an interview with, like, let's say one of your recruiters, now I'm like, okay, I get an idea what this person's like. Yeah, I am interested in looking more into this person, or no, I'm not. So the benefit of that is like you said, you can scroll more. You can get more information faster to filter through to a right decision quicker. So that makes everything go faster.
I'm really surprised how slow the adaptation has been with that, because there's software out there.
I'm not complaining. It makes it really easy for me, dude. for anyone right now that does it to stand out, right?
The video interviewing I'm talking about has really been slow to catch on.
They're not even, if you're working with a company, they don't even want to do a video interview. They want that person to come in and they'll fly them out, not even just jump on a Zoom.
They're so comfortable with phone interviews to start the process. It's pretty traditional to start with a phone interview. Unless it's a local candidate, of course, but even
I heard someone say that they intentionally do that because they don't want to, it's really silly, but like, I guess be exposed to, what's it called?
Bias.
Yeah. Yeah. Conscious bias, unconscious bias. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, no, there's some truth to that. I mean, there's a great, Malcolm Gladwell wrote an essay about that, and he watched a video, he set up a camera and he watched the interviewer come out and greet the interviewee, shake hands and leave the room. Then they showed other people that slice, that 10 second slice of the greeting. And from that predicted the success of the interview. And it correlated almost exactly with the outcome of another 45 minute interview, just watching a 10 or 15 second slice.
So based on how those people interacted and.
Yeah. But people, I mean, we're engineered that way. We're biologically, you see somebody, you form an instant impression.
I think like online they call it your tribe, right? There's a lot of people that don't like me. And anyone who puts video out, there's going to be someone out there in the world that doesn't like a single thing you're saying. So, you know, it really does make sense to group with people that are like-minded with you. Before that was like limited geographically, like who was your tribe and or racially or, you know, where you grew up. But now it's more so your interests or your, because we're connected online everywhere. So I would like to think that we're getting past those biases, but I don't know. I mean, maybe they still exist, but I don't know. I tend to just think more optimistically and just practically and not like, you know, Bob was saying earlier, he's like, this company had this policy that was like, there's no cameras on the plant floor. So they were saying, oh no, we can't have HoloLens, VR, AR technology on our plant floor. It's like, well, it's like you guys created that rule and all your operators have like phones in their pockets. So obviously it's like, why would you want to use your own rule against you? And it seems like that's kind of true for what we were just talking about. I forgot. Yeah. what were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about video and candidates aren't, the companies don't, They haven't video interviewing.
Yeah, they're like they're using the right. edge case of like, oh well, we might be biased then. Well, I mean, if you're biased, you're still going to be biased in an in-person interview. So you might as well just make decisions faster with more information, consuming it via video, consuming it via like that candidate, maybe just posting a text or an image, right? Yeah. Just sharing their knowledge, sharing what it is that they do, and staying top of mind with the recruiters or with companies in the industry, or that's what social media, it's all about.
Yeah. Well, that's why LinkedIn has been so successful, is they've standardized what like a resume looks like. And, as soon as resumes are, I don't know why people rely on them so much, because the first thing they do when they get a resume, they don't read it. They go on LinkedIn and see if they know the person and see what they look like. They see if they know somebody that knows the person. Mm. I've seen it happen, right in front of my face. Like, I'll give a resume to somebody, they'll put it down and go on their phone and look them up on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I just can't emphasize the importance to candidates of having a great LinkedIn profile. Right. That's well thought out, articulate, a good picture.
Yeah.
It increases their value in the marketplace.
We really have three levels there. So it starts with a complete profile, having your work history, your bio, your keywords, your picture, your tagline, having all that stuff sorted. So, people like you, Gary, at Miller Resource Group can reach out and find these people on LinkedIn using those keywords. So that's one, you want to be searchable. You want to be online. Number two, it's like you want to be posting content. So whether that's sharing an article with your own thoughts on it, or making a video, or writing an article, or sharing an image, that's two. So people can see that once you go to their profile, you might see what they post. And number three, and most people don't think about this, it's like activity. And so you can actually see right on the first page of your LinkedIn, and you hit activity, you see like what they're commenting on. So like if you just went and left a nasty comment, like someone could see that,
Sure.
So I think that's one. I think all three of those are important.
Sure. And clients pay attention to that stuff, and they count on us to do that.
Yeah. Or not even from a negative perspective, but like, let's say you were commenting on relevant industry posts and adding value in the comments, like that's going to look good on you and also help build your network too. So I think those three are really important for LinkedIn. If you're serious about finding a job on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Somebody could get probably a little granular on that. And if they look somebody up and they saw that they were posting posting and commenting 24/7 when they were supposed to be engineering or selling, that could be a ding.
Yeah. Well, no, but now if it is a salesperson, then that will actually be a really great strategy for that salesperson.
Right? Yeah, it could be.
Creating those relationships just getting more exposure. Because like almost all the opportunities for the road trip have been inbound, meaning they reached out to me to sponsor it, and I didn't have to call anyone. I called a couple of people that I thought would be, make sense, or I had an existing relationship with, but creating that content creates those inbound opportunities, and then you're not having to go out and put a bunch of effort in. You can just kind of let them come in and then select which ones make sense for you.
Sure.
Like ideally you don't want to be reaching out to recruiters. You want the recruiters reaching out to you.
Right. Right. Well, this is a classic example of inbound marketing for sure. Cause I didn't know you at all 6 weeks ago.
Right. Right.
I didn't go online. I didn't even know that I wanted to, this video, creating content and getting live out there. I mean, and since we've talked, we've already contracted with our digital agency to build more video.
Awesome.
We're looking at putting a studio in. So look what you started.
I'm really excited. I guess I'm sorry, or you're welcome. I don't know. I'm sure it'll turn out great. I've seen it work for myself. So what would you think about, What was the one video that like gave you confidence in me, or made you think like, all right, hey, I want to sponsor? Was it just the road trip pitch itself, or was there a particular video that you remember that's like, oh, that stood out to you?
I don't think anyone. I think it was the collective work, the fact that you were showing up frequently, people that I knew, people in, not necessarily people I knew, but people who were in integration firms that I respected. I noticed them showing up, and that there was a lot of commentary back and forth. And, you know, it just, it was just the right play. It was just the right formula.
Sweet. That's useful. I think, yeah, I think that really does make sense. I think once people, I think if people were to understand that, then they would be less, they would feel less pressured to like make each video perfect.
Yeah.
Because they realize it's not even about that one video. It's just about consistently putting out video. Like you said, that's what a lot of
people the whole inbound idea. I mean, I go to conferences, I speak at conferences. I know people on a more personal level. And we get inbound that way. We've never really extrapolated it with video. But I know that it works. And I'm not saying like I'm too lazy to make a cold call or talk to a stranger.
Right.
But it's like the way of the world. And I think if you don't have content out there, and somebody else, if you have content out there, you can be a smaller firm. If there's a big firm doesn't have any, they'll lose out because there's no familiarity and no trust.
Right. Yeah. The trust. So the
familiarity breeds the trust. It occurred to, you know, without even consciously thinking about it, I said, this guy's out there. He's out there frequently. He's well connected. I'm familiar with him now. Therefore, he must be trustworthy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool, man. Yeah. So, you know, again, thank you. And I think it's really cool because, like I said at the beginning, it's like really what I'm doing is I'm really just going to visit a bunch of clients and doing a video content shoot for them and you know, helping them get that content and maybe in some cases helping take that a bit further.
Right.
But, you know, each business sponsor is getting a physical stop on the road trip, you know, 1 hour interview, you know, not only just about their company, but about the changing tides of the industry, where the industry is headed, and components from that interview will make their way into the documentary, as well as like, you know, drone shots or like just shots of their office or of the employees doing work, just as B-roll to kind of help keep that interesting or that interview interesting. So really that's like kind of what they're paying for. And then the road trip is really just for free, right? I mean, it's really just because I wanted to do that, and it adds value on top of it. Helps get my brand out there more, helps the brands that I work with, helps them get their message out a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's really where I have a really a good sweet spot, is helping people that have never used video before, just online, like through my course or through some of the products that I recommend or the videos that I make. Mm-hmm. But then also like more specifically in industrial automation, in a more hands-on way where I'm actually doing the video myself or working with you guys to get your video, you know, workflow set up and get those first few videos out and kind of help ask the right questions to pull out those interesting stories.
Yeah.
So that's really kind of what I'm pursuing right now.
Yeah. And I'm so excited to like get my own boom microphone. That's then I know how I'll have a rock.
Yeah. The gear bug has bit me, and yeah. No, I got it. I did pick up a couple of new lenses for this trip. So this lens I'm shooting on right here is a cinema lens. I bought it used, and so it wasn't that expensive. But it has a fully manual focus and a manual aperture. But it's like really, you know, it's like I'm out of focus now, or like now I'm out of focus. Like it's really a thin depth of field. And so it just creates that really nice blurry background. I think it's going to give the cinema, or it's going to give the documentary, the film, a more flavor, kind of a unique touch, as opposed to just one of the kit lenses that I had. And then I also have my other camera right here. That's going to be like the B camera.
Yeah.
It's going to be really fun.
All right.
It's like each thing I'm doing, it's trying to push myself further. Like I've never done a documentary, but I've done video interviews. I do podcasts. I know the industry, you know, I've done all these things kind of separately, but now I'm just kind of, I've driven a car before, taking a road trip, right? So now it's like combining them all together to do something that's never really been done before.
First in the history of man.
maybe not that grand, but
the first Zach Scriven cross country road trip.
Right. Yeah. An industry 4.0 road trip. Yeah. I mean, that's always been the thing, is industry has always been lacking video content. So
we're going to change that.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, man.
All right. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. I'm sure we'll be in touch before then.
All right, Gary, thank you for joining. Peace out, man. All right.
Glad to be here.